everybody, and welcome back to Noodles at Noon, the show that focuses on things that are not worth focusing on. I am your host, who had the most boring week out of anybody out there. It's me. Hi, I'm Ben, and we are joined this week by a special guest. It's Michael, the latest recipient of the Fauci Ouchie.
Isn't that right? Look at me. Ow, I can barely raise my arm above about, 96 degrees because I got my Fauci Ouchie in the right arm.
And as long as you hold it out to the side, you're good.
Yeah, I'm holding it to the side intentionally, not forward.
Well, I'm very happy. I was so excited to hear of your vaccination and happy to see that you are still, you seem to be doing well except for holding your arm straight out. It'll be the second dose that I get to hear.
Yeah, that's going to be the bad one.
It's going to be a fun time. I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. Not for your sake, though, just because I don't know. There will be lots of fun messages in the Discord that day. And we are joined this week by another special guest, a super special guest. Today's special guest resides from Michigan, at least he does right now, and is the host of Journeys of Scientists, a podcast sponsored by Michigan State University Women and Minorities in the Physical Sciences. It's Brian Stanley.
Hello, thank you for having me. Claps all around.
He's clapping for himself.
Yes. I had to put my arms over my head to clap, which Michael can't do. He got to lean to one side.
It looked like Michael was struggling, so I had to fill in.
You filled in for him. Thank you, Brian. And thank you for being here, Brian. It's so great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Brian. I am a second year PhD student at the physics department at Michigan State University, which just means I do a lot of math and crying. But besides that, it's pretty good. And I host a podcast where I talk to grad students about their experiences in grad school.
Where can we find Journeys of Scientists?
Anywhere where podcasts are found. I think primarily Spotify and Anchor and the usual suspects.
Great. And the links will be on noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
So you guys can check out Brian and the great stuff that he's doing over there with WAMPS.
Yes. It is a fantastic podcast. Tell us, what is one of the more, because you talk with a lot of grad students about their grad studenting experiences. Mm-hmm. What is the, as you can tell, I'm not a grad student anywhere. What is kind of one of the more interesting, overarching grad student experiences that the normal humans like me may not know about grad students?
So I would say in general, which is sort of what I'm trying to aim with the podcast, is that we have lives outside of the classroom and or lab that we are in. So I try to focus a lot on actual interests and hobbies that you do outside the classroom. So I've learned so much different things that people have done. Like there's one grad student I know, she did jiu-jitsu and film and all sorts of other random stuff, like dance and all of this, like outside of physics research, which just blows my mind of how anyone has time to do that. Everyone just has a lot of different interests that are not, you wouldn't imagine overlapping with physics or, any of the sciences or the academic fields, if they answered your question.
Oh, no, that does answer my question. That's fantastic. And I think that's very interesting. So if that sounds interesting to you, wait until this podcast ends and then head on over to Journeys of Scientists, which is Brian's podcast. And again, that's on Spotify, Anchor, all the usual suspects, as Brian said. And thank you once again for joining us this week for Noodles at Noon. We can be found at noodlespodcast.com, as Michael said.
Noodlespodcast.com.
It's my
and
favorite website.
Anywhere podcast. Oh, yeah. right up there with fabulouswildmen.com. Mm-hmm. Which I told my supervisor to look that up the other day, and she didn't believe me.
So long story short, we own that domain and it links to noodlespodcast.com.
Yeah, so it links to our about pages. So if you Google fabulouswildmen.com, if you put it in the search bar at the top, it'll just pull up a picture of me and then a picture of Noah and then not a picture of Michael because we don't have a picture of Michael on there.
Generic icon for me.
Generic icon. Yeah, and that podcast can be found. All the usual suspects as well. Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, no longer Wendy's Bathrooms, but the Cry Rooms at churches. Yeah, so let's dive into our weekly updates. And we're going to start with Michael. He has some very exciting news to share.
I do.
I don't know. I just figured I should lead off with that. I guess just in case you did.
I did get approved for an apartment. I have an official move-in date. It's in 2 months, almost from to the day from the time the show comes out. So,
do you want to give everybody Michael, your address so we can send
it's going to be 602 5341 Meriwether Road in Yakima, Washington. So please send me all the fan mail and I will gladly accept it. But other than that, this week, friend of the show, listener of the show, Callie, sent me this amazing paper called Short Video Gameplay Improves Cognitive Function. I'm reading it in a mirror image in the oldest old living in residence care. So this is a paper about how playing video games, specifically Star Wars Battlefront, the first of the EA ones, showed to improve cognitive abilities in the elderly. And I took it upon myself to practice my memory. I mean, improve my working memory and all of the quality of life even by playing some Star Wars Battlefront this week. So, of course, I used my $35 Xbox One that I got. I went over there, put on the exact game mode that they talk about in this paper, and I played it for half an hour. And it was really hard, even on normal difficulty, that these elderly people were playing at. So I just had all these mental images of people lasting about 3 minutes in the game and just doing that for 10 times because they had to play for 30 minutes. I think it was a day or something. And it was incredibly frustrating. But I lasted to 30 minutes. I took a picture of the TV screen and I have that somewhere. So I have proof that I did it. And then we played Scene It on Thursday night and my memory was better than ever. Just kidding. It was actually terrible. I lost, but
yeah, I mopped being, the floor with all of you.
Yeah, Ben demolished us, and he somehow guessed at the very end Ace Ventura: Pet Detective in a Wheel of Fortune style format when there were three letters on the board, which was definitely suspicious. But
yeah, but there's really no way I could have cheated. I'm not smart enough to cheat. I really am not. So I think like the Venn diagram of winning at that game by cheating and not being smart enough to cheat, I think the little sliver where those overlap is knowledge of Ace Ventura: Pet Detective. So yeah, that's how I pulled that off.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was somewhat impressive. It got clipped. And I think we'll put that on the website. We'll try to remember to do that as well.
Yeah. We're just gonna give Noah the week that he's not here all these things to put on the website. Yeah. In case you were wondering where Noah is, Noah's not gonna make it this week. He decided he likes helping people move so much that it's his full-time job now. So he's just
congrats.
Congrats. He has a full-time job all day Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the days of the week. Just helping people move. So we may never see him again. He's always on the move. But anything else from your week, Michael?
No, that wraps it up.
Oh, great. And that makes me nervous, though, because now it's my turn to share. And I had like the most basic week I've ever had. Like, I'm sitting here still struggling to come up with an idea of what to talk about. That's how basic it was. I went to work every single day. I did my normal volunteer stuff to the day on which we were recording this, because we record this on the eighth day of the week that y'all haven't figured out yet. I happened to be helping people film a thing, which is different from what I've been doing the past like year because of COVID. But before COVID, I would normally help people film stuff on weekends. So that's pretty normal for me again. It was actually, Michael, you remember that time when we went to that church around here to see that jazz band play worship?
Yes.
It was a lot like that. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that random jazz worship band that we saw one time. But no, it's part of a really cool ministry that I'm helping out with called Blues Behind Bars, where they go and they help people, or they go into prisons and they teach them how to write and play blues music, which I think is a really cool thing to do. And since they aren't able to go into the prisons right now, they are like recording concerts, so to speak, or recording songs, and they're sending them out to all the prisons they normally visit. They travel around to different states doing this, so they're just going to send out the DVDs until it is once again safe for them to go into the prisons and perform the shows for the inmates and get to interact with them and all that stuff. So that was a fun thing to do. Definitely the most interesting thing I've done this week. And with that said, I'm just going to move right on to asking how Brian's week was. How was it, Brian?
It was fine. It was like, it's wrap for me, at least. It's wrapping up the semester. So like semester ends in like 2 weeks. So it's a very stressful time for me in grad student world, preparing for comprehensive exams and whatnot. So the week itself, like nothing very exciting happened. But today, I went out of my comfort zone and one of my friends who I've met through virtual classes, because I don't know about you, but I've been completely virtual since March of last year. I haven't been to my office or campus in over a year now. So I'm in like this virtual class just via Zoom, and I made this friend who, instead of paying attention to class, we now send messages to each other and try to get them a laugh on camera.
Oh, that sounds like such a Brian thing to do.
So this is PhD life. And so she's really into horses, and she does horse competitions and horse judging and all of this. And she's like, there's a horse show that's just down the street from you. You want to come by this weekend and check it out? And I was like, sure, why not? You know, your listeners probably don't know who I am, but in general, I don't like dirt. today I drove down to these fairgrounds in some little town that's like 10, 15 minutes away from me. Wasn't really sure where I was going. I was just driving through like weird vacant farm buildings. And then there's a lot of cars and a lot of horses. And I'm like, I bet that's it. And so I parked in this field, and and she's like, oh, just call or text me when you come here. And I was like, okie dokie. And I'm walking in, and I don't know what I was expecting to see. I was like, I didn't know what I was getting into, but I'm just like, there's like all these stables, and then like, I don't know what to call them, rings. I don't know. Maybe the dirt
arenas.
Filled areas, arenas. Sure. I don't know.
We have horses. I think
we're
I
just outside.
Know that.
I don't know. We're just out here, and there's like a lot of horses and like horse noises going, you know, so there's a lot of that. I stood out. There's a lot of Wranglers and boots and cowboy hats. And I showed up in my Urban Pipeline jeans and my gray sweatshirt that I'm wearing now. Looking very lost. And so then I called her, and she didn't answer. And I sent a message of, I am somewhere. I don't know if where I'm am is where I'm supposed to be, because there is no guidance on anything. I'm like, can anyone just walk up, or is this like the behind the scenes that I just like stumbled in? And so I'm just standing here by this power box. looking at a distance at the four-legged creatures and their persons. And then this girl also said, like, since everything's on virtual too, this is the first time I've ever like met her in person too. Oh. So I only ever known her as like a 2x3 square on my laptop. And so all of a sudden, like this horse pops up with this girl on top of it, and she goes, "You look like someone who doesn't know what they're doing at a horse show." And it was this person, and so then we're chatting. There's a while she was chatting, we're talking. I'm just standing there. She's sitting on top of the horse, so she's, you know, there's like a 4-foot difference between, like, I'm a tall guy.
That's how I feel talking to you two normally.
Yeah, like, I'm 6'2", but she's still, like, because she's on top of a horse, it's still, like, a 4-foot difference. So we're having this conversation, and then she was walking me through, like, it was a horse show, so they do different things, like, walking in specific ways. And she would tell me all these things that we're doing, and I'd be like, uh-huh. And I would ask really dumb questions of, why do you do that? Why do you do this? I learned that horses have, like, so you know how, like, people get, like, hair extensions? Mm. I learned that they give horses, like, tail extensions, too, to make, to, like, keep them way down. It's, a, like, it was fascinating. I learned so much. And so we were talking there, and she was talking to me, answering my stupid questions. And everyone else is, you know, staring at me because I stood out. And then she's like, do you want to get on the horse? And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, no, it's fine. Keep it, like, 5 minutes earlier, she told me about how, like, the horse was misbehaving earlier in that day. And she's like, you want to get on this horse? And I'm like, No, that's okay. Yeah, we don't need to. So, but didn't matter. She immediately got off. It's like, okay, get up there. And I felt pressured because everyone was already staring at me. So I'm like, oh, I need to blend in. So she's like, okay, just put your foot in this foot holster thing. It had a name. Stirrup. I don't remember what it was.
Stirrup.
That's what it was. That fit very nicely in her cowboy boots fit very nicely into there. My size foot 14 tennis shoe with bright pink shoelaces didn't necessarily fit in there as well. but anyway, so then I did that. She's like, okay, put all your weight in this and then just swing your leg over, which for me, it was, that part was fine because I'm tall. So, like, I got up on this horse, so now I'm 20 feet in the air, or that's what I felt like, at least.
It's really tall.
And obviously, I can't see myself, so I don't know how it looked, but it felt unnatural. And the way that people were looking at me, I got the impression that it looked unnatural.
Was it the indication of people taking out their phones and taking pictures, or what was the...
Yeah, there's just a lot of slightly head, like, shaking and just looking at me. She took a picture of me. I haven't seen the picture yet, but...
It's being developed right now.
I don't need to see it.
Yeah. It's going to be her Zoom background when you go to class next time.
Oh, yes, that's... And she's like... Okay, well, the horse just finished whatever there was, taken back to the stable. She told me how to, like, hold the little ropey things.
Reins.
Reins.
I gotta help him out.
Wait, hang on. Wait, what did she mean by the horse is finished? For whatever reason, I had to get the odometer up to, a round number, so if you just want to take it around the paddock.
No, she had just, like, come off of the whatever... field, area, track, I don't know, place of where horse business occurs. So she had just finished that. So we were wrapping up. She was like, oh, go take him to the stable. I should also mention, When I got up on the horse and I'm sitting there, I said, "Yeehaw," to which she responded, "We don't say that."
That's bad.
It's amazing. She was just like, "Okay, get off."
Yeehaw!
Get
All
off
right,
my
you're
horse.
Done, Brian. Let's go. Let's go home. That's enough real
so
life.
She's like, "Okay, we'll go to the stable." She had me ride the horse to the stable. She was like, "I'll just walk alongside it," and she told me how to like use the throttle and the brakes, is what I'll call it, as if the horse is a car. And we clocked along over there. You know, part of it was on pavement, so you could hear like the on whatever. I think the horse was okay because it saw its person walking alongside her, so it was just following it. I think I had zero input on the situation. But yeah, but then we got there, and we're inside this stable area. And she was like, "Okay, get down," you know, just like how you got up, but backwards. That was much less graceful than me getting on there, because you're now going with gravity, and so you swing yourself up, and now you're falling. And then, like I said, my foot only sort of fit into the stirrup. So it kind of got stuck there toward the bottom. So I'm just like standing there for a little bit with my left foot, you know, up to my chest. And then she took it and put it in this thing. And it was all very exciting. She made some comment about cowboy hats or something. And saying, I think I made some comment. I'm like, maybe that's why I need to fit in. Because that's what was missing. was a cowboy hat. So then she got a cowboy hat, and she's like, "Oh yeah, no, everyone looks good in a cowboy hat." So she gave me one that put on my head. I did not feel like it fit on my head. I felt like it was sitting on top of my head, just resting. And so then I tipped it and I said, "Howdy." That wasn't met with as much of a negative response as yeehaw, but
oh good.
I definitely did not fit in with anyone else that was in the stable. But yeah, that was my brief horse riding experience just mere hours ago.
Man, I'm sure it was everything you wanted it to be and so much more too.
Yes. It was the second time I've ever ridden a horse. When I was in like middle school, like eighth grade or something like that, we went to Hawaii and we did like one of those like tourist like horse riding things through whatever. And I told my friend who I saw today, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I could do that because, you know, those horses just do the same path, you know, multiple times every right. day, all day." And so I'm like, so at that point, like the horse was doing all the work. Like you had to have zero input on where we're going. I suppose like this was a little more stressful. I'm like, "Oh, now I supposedly in control." But yeah, it was an exciting time.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Then afterwards, there's some small child there who was, I think, 5 or 7 or something like that. And they had a hoverboard. Like, you remember that little hover, like Segways without the stick that caught on fire. they had that. "You want to ride that?" And I'm like, at that point, I was pretty cocky because I'm like, "Well, I just rode a horse. I could handle a hoverboard. I could not handle the hoverboard." They made it look so simple, and fell down.
I was gonna say the difference between riding a horse and riding a hoverboard is a horse will independently stay on its own 4 legs. And walk with it, as you said, without you giving much input. Hoverboard, yeah. That's kind of only your input.
Yes. At one point, we were not on level ground, which in hindsight, maybe not the best way to learn how to use a hoverboard. At one point, I did it. Because the kid was showing off, and it's like, he was like squatting and doing it. And I'm like, "Well, maybe that's easier because like your center of mass is lower."
Right.
He's also like, you know, a third my size. But so I tried doing that. I tried squatting down, and it just like went out from under me and I fell on my back. Oh. And then the hoverboard, like, started rolling, like, over itself, like, down the hill, just, like, over and over on top of itself.
Sorry, kid.
Sorry. No more hoverboard for you. When I was in college, one year, for the most part, all of my classes were on the same side of campus because I studied journalism. All of the journalism classes were in that same building, so I just wouldn't leave that building. And then for whatever reason, I had a class that was all the way on the complete other side of campus, which my campus, it wasn't too big. It was probably a medium-sized college campus or whatever. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be smart and I'm going to bring my ripstick to campus. And that's how I'm going to get from one side to the other. And if you don't know what a ripstick is it's like a skateboard that has only two wheels and it bends in the middle. So you can kind of like wiggle your feet. And that's how you balance slash gain propulsion. One thing that should be noted, completely lacking brakes, which I didn't think about until I got to the other side of campus, which is basically a long hill.
He was going 1,300 miles an hour. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Way faster than I ever wanted to be going on a ripstick. And I had to have like a little moment of, first of all, this hill ends in downtown city that I'm currently in. Second of all, there's a number of intersections between here and there where I have no control over whether there's going to be cars going other direction. And third of all, the last kind of like point where I can jump off and maybe survive is right now. So I did have to like jump off my ripstick into a field in front of one of the dorms where I somersaulted about three times. And I got up and there was somebody that was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And then they just kept on walking. And I was like, I'm going to carry this long or this ripstick with me the rest of the day. And I had to because I kind of committed to it at that point. But yeah, I don't know what I was thinking because after that class, I would have had to gone back up the hill. And going up hills is another thing that is not easy on a ripstick. So all in all, it was not my finest moment.
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
Should have got a scooter. I wiped out on a scooter. I have scars from wiping out on a scooter. You can't really see that.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, focus. Hello. I have a scar on my pinky. See that? That's from wiping out on a scooter and falling down a hill.
Are these like the regular scooters or like the electric scooters?
No, just the Razor. You push it with the foot. I had one of the electric ones that was like battery powered and could go like 20 miles an hour. That was a lot of fun. But then we got too heavy for it.
I had that too, and then I took out a chunk of my foot, so I have like a scar like on my ankle.
There was someone at my school who had one of those scooters, but it wasn't electric, it was gas. And you could hear that sucker from like 8 blocks away. I knew when he was arriving on campus just because it was and I'd be like in my dorm, or not in my dorm, but in the building for journalism, which was a bomb shelter, because every college in the 80s had to have a bomb shelter, and it just so happened to be the one where they put the journalism department, which also big oversight by my campus, because like if there is ever a nuclear attack on this small town, which should never have a nuclear attack, but the building that is built to survive a nuclear attack houses the journalism department and like the humanities and like human studies department. And then like all the doctors, nurses, teachers are in these other buildings, which will just be blown away. So all the useful people won't make it, but the journalists,
I don't know. Like when there's a nuclear apocalypse, I think the people who will last the longest will be the liberal arts humanities.
Liberal arts students. They know how to survive.
Yeah.
We could make that our SpeakPipe question this week. Have you ever wiped out on an alternative mode of transportation, be it a ripstick, a scooter, a horse? Yeah, that'll be our SpeakPipe question. If you have an experience like that, go to the Contact Us page on noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com.
And you go to leave the SpeakPipe, you leave a SpeakPipe, and you let us know what happened. And we'll talk about it on the show next week.
Just like this. If you leave us a review, like our friend DJ Boomer 45 did, we will read that live on the air. Brian, we expect a review coming in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I will. I'll rate my experience.
Okay, well, in that case, do you want water? I can go.
We can go get you a water. I can get you a coffee, a nice iced tea.
I'd be like, great show. Didn't really care for the guest all that much.
That's what Michael does. I think Michael has left a review on our podcast and said, I hate the third person.
That's what it said.
I think that's what it says.
I can't remember exactly. You'll find it when you leave a review. But DJ Boomer 45 said, quote, it's great! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. That's four. I counted them. So we
I
got,
think it's only three.
Oh, is it really?
Okay,
you
said three.
But I think it's three.
Well, you said four, but there are actually only three. Okay. Well, so not quite as good as you made it seem.
Sorry. It says, quote, okay. It's great, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, end quote.
End quote.
There's not a fourth one.
That's a man who knows how to make his words work in a short amount of time, and I can appreciate that.
I mean, he has to. He's a DJ. He's all about brevity.
Yeah. DJ Boomer 45.
You gotta get out quick the next song.
Yeah, you don't want to be butting into the start or anything of the next one. Jeez.
That's so true. That's why I'd be a terrible DJ. I'm like, and this next song, I heard it once when I was driving home from, and then it's already going. It already starts going. Well, Brian, one of the things that we do on our show is we like playing fun games that we come up with on our own, usually within 4 to 5 minutes before we start the podcast. That's what I did. Perfect. However, Michael is always really good about having his done way ahead of time. So, Michael, with your very well-prepared and super high-quality game, why don't you go first?
There's the garage door. Brian, you are present for a garage door opening.
I can hear this time, actually.
Every single show.
Oh.
It's happening right now, and I will not proceed until the garage door is in the upright and locked position. Okay, it's there.
You should have a theme song for, it's the garage door.
I should, with the drone of the garage door, 80 hertz going around. So this first game is called Celebrity Cameo Cost Cthulhu. Ben, stop. I will kick you off of my show. So for those of you like Brian who may not be in the know, Cameo is a web service that allows you to purchase a short video from celebrities of all popularities. They can wish you a happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy graduation, happy getting on a horse for the second time in your life and saying yeehaw, and so on. They can wish you all these things.
It will only cost you $60, and you can have your favorite guest tell you yeehaw.
And Brian just announced he is launching a Cameo, so be on the lookout for that. Yeah. In this game, the two guests, Ben and Brian, the two Bs, will go head-to-head to guess the cost of each celebrity's Cameo, and we're going to use Price is Right rules, which means the highest, closest bid without going over wins the point. Today's theme is a grab bag. It's a grab bag. I just kind of found random people on there, and this is our first ever public school-only podcast recording. So I chose some people that I knew Noah wouldn't know because we all went to public school. So we get to dunk on the homies and do that. So are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Pumped.
All right. Round one, Brian, we'll start with you. I always say that and then I forget whose turn it is. So, but we'll start with you. So Vanilla Ice. We know Vanilla Ice, right? Rapper popularized by his hit single Ice Ice Baby, which dropped in August 1990. In 2019,
I thought it was Under Pressure.
Wow. No, that one goes doon 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 doon. His goes doon 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 doon. So wrong. In 2019, his show The Vanilla Ice Project came to a conclusion. It was a house flipping show, and he actually lives in one of the homes that he flipped on the show. Brian, how much is a Cameo from Vanilla Ice? Price is Right rules.
Okay. So I want to ask a clarifying question.
Yes.
First. So with the cameos, are they just like any type of any video, or do they like do different tiers? Like if you want them to say law, it costs this much. If you want them to say whatever, it costs some other amount.
As far as I know, they are not tiered. It is a flat rate and you can tell them what you want to say. So I can be like, tell my friend Ben, happy birthday. And they'll go, hey Ben, happy birthday, or whatever. So it's a single tier.
Okay.
Unlike our Patreon.
Okay.
Okay. Patreon has a million tiers.
For all the people.
Okay,
crying.
So let's see. Ice Baby, that came out in the 90s, as you said, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he hasn't had a hit since then. He was...
or before then.
These are all true.
He was on Dancing with the Stars not that long ago. Don't think he was very good on that either. but I'm guessing that it probably costs more than I think it should.
That's
so
a fair assessment
with
this game?
$120.
Okay. $120 from Brian. Ben, what do you think it costs to get a video from Vanilla Ice?
Brian, I think that's a really good guess, honestly. With Vanilla Ice, I think he's one of those people where, like, you'll be scrolling through the app and then be like, oh, dude, Vanilla Ice? I want something Vanilla Ice. I've heard of him. He's cool. I want Vanilla Ice to say something to my friend Michael. And then you'll click on it and be like, $180? No way. So I'm going to go with $180.
All right, so we have $180 from Ben, $120 from Brian. Vanilla Ice is $300 even on Cameo, which means Ben will grab a point. Ben will grab a point. Brian, you have some good logic with higher than you think it should be. That
it's
is
always higher than you think it should be.
Even with my $120, I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be higher than what I think it should be.
Mind you, this video will probably be like 45 seconds long, too. So...
Yes.
And it's going to vaguely seem like every other video made.
Exactly. So. It's canned almost.
Yeah. And like, Michael, as you said, like scrolling through it, like who's purposely going out there later? You're like, you know what? I need to have Vanilla Ice do this. Like, it seems like something you're just scrolling through and be like, that's interesting. Like as a novelty.
Because it's not like anyone's like, you know who my dad really likes? Vanilla Ice. I'm going to get him a Vanilla Ice cameo for Christmas.
But maybe your dad is a fan of this next one. Alfonso Ribeiro, the current host of AFV, America's Funniest Home Videos, well known for his role as Carlton Banks on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There it is. Get it, guys. And among all these accolades, he was also in a Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson in the 1980s.
Oh, so I get it now.
I sent this video in Discord. It's a knockoff of Billie Jean, written probably by Pepsi. It's like, you're a whole new generation. And the guy doing the moonwalk that looks like Alfonso Ribeiro is young Alfonso Ribeiro. There you go. Ben, how much is a video from Carlton?
Will it be old Alfonso Ribeiro or young Alfonso Ribeiro?
Oh, not child edition.
Not child.
No.
Okay. Not child Alfonso Ribeiro. This one... I think this is like the same sort of, I don't think anyone's like looking for this when they go on Cameo, because there's some people like Brett Favre or I think Snoop Dogg's on it, who you would probably go to the app just to get a cameo from them. But this one, I'd actually be willing to pay more than I'd be willing to pay Vanilla Ice. But the amount I was willing to pay Vanilla Ice was like $20 and it ended up being like $300. So given that logic, I said 180 for Vanilla Ice, so I'm going to put 200 on Alfonso Ribeiro.
All right, 200 from Ben. Brian.
He was another one where I'm like, people probably don't remember him as much, though he's recently like in those like Allstate commercials where he's pretending to be a basketball player.
Also on Dancing with the Stars.
He was also on Dancing with the Stars. I was going to say that, but then I didn't want to come off as seeing like, yes, I know all about Dancing with the Stars, but I don't. I'm more cultured. I rode a horse. however, I don't know. to me, he seems like he'd be more of like a man of the people. He would want to like connect with the fans. You'd want to like have like be more reasonable. I feel like maybe his ego wouldn't be as high as Vanilla Ice. I'm going to stick. I feel like 200's too high, or whatever Ben said.
200, yeah.
I'm going to stick with the same answer I gave for Vanilla Ice. I'm going to say 120.
Ooh, 120. Okay. So Ben, 200. Brian, 120. Vanilla Ice. Oh, sorry, Vanilla Ice is 300. No, Alfonso Ribeiro is 250. Ben takes another point. No. Brian, you might just want to say a dollar more than whatever Ben says.
Also, can I just say, like, not that there was even in the realm of possibilities, but Vanilla Ice is never coming on this show, right? Like, if he hears about, like, half the things we've said about him in this one podcast, yeah, it's not going to happen.
He won't shoot you, don't worry. No. Okay. He's cool. He's cool with the homies. All right, yeah. Round three. This one is one Noah would never have a clue. Jerry Springer. We all know Jerry Springer, that TV show where people fight about each other about who's the father and who owes who rent, and then they like sucker punch each other and the crowd just goes crazy. Brian, we start with you. How much is Jerry Springer for a video?
Well, let's see. Ben, what would you have guessed?
I'm not going to tell you, but it's going to be a dollar more, whatever you guess.
Okay. Okay, so quite the opposite of what my rationale for Alfonso was. I feel like Springer is not a man of the people. I feel like his entire presence is anti-people.
Except when it sells tickets.
Except for when it sells tickets, because people are just numbers in a spreadsheet that make money. Okay.
Don't tell our Patreon that.
Don't tell our Patreon.
Yes.
That we don't have.
Those in the million tier.
I'm going to say he's Vanilla Ice range. I'm going to go 300.
All right, 300 from Brian and Ben. Yep.
I mentioned Brett Favre before, and as far as like star status, I kind of put Jerry Springer in the same bracket as Brett Favre. At least in cameo terms, I know they're very. Well, maybe they aren't different people, but whatever. But because I said I was going to do a dollar more than whatever Brian said, I was originally going to say 400, but I'll do 302.
Oh, that's more than $1.
I really want the answer to be 301, and it's a straight smack in the middle.
He is 301. No, I'm kidding. All right, so that's a double over, so you get the bongo for double over. We have to rebid. We have to rebid. And I'll tell you this. It is substantially a double over. Substantially
really?
A double over. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Substantially.
Even. I just want to say the word substantially two more times at least. Wow. So you were
a substantial amount.
Yeah, substantial. Mm. So let's go. I'm going to give it to Brian. No, I'm going to give it to Ben first.
Really?
Maybe so Brian can get a point. So.
Reverse psychology. You see what I did there? I put your name in psychology.
Okay.
Smikology.
Clever.
You don't have to say it again. Just give me a price.
I'm trying to determine how substantial is substantial. Like,
substantial.
Are we talking like $200 over or like $100 over? I'm going to go honestly lower than I think it's worth and say like 40.
Okay.
Not that I value Jerry Springer that high. I don't want to say that, but his celebrity is bigger than I would think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes my whole strategy now. Because originally I was going to be like, if I'm double over, maybe I go back to my 120 that has worked so well for my previous two answers. But now if Ben's going 40, I'll go 41.
And it worked because Jerry Springer is $135 on Cameo.
$120 would have worked too. It would
have $120 would have worked, but it sounded much riskier compared to your $40.
congrats on preventing yourself from being completely shut out on your first game ever on the show. That's a victory in itself.
I was watching because this is family or not family, Price is Right rules. I was watching a little clip from Price is Right, and like the very first person that they went to said $1, and then they went to the next person. She was just like $2. And then they went to someone else who said like an actual answer, and then the fourth person went $3.
Oh, that's good. All right, round four. We'll start with Ben on this one. Robert Cool Bell.
How many rounds are there?
There are 5 rounds.
Okay.
Yeah, I should have said that at the beginning, but now you know. Okay. There's a chance. Okay. There's a chance.
So I have to get the next two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Robert Cool Bell. He's the founding member of Cool and the Gang, which is an R&B, soul, funk, disco, jazz group popularized in the late 1970s, early 1980s. I've seen them perform live. Everyone knows their song Celebration. Ben, we'll start with you.
I was going to let you have that moment.
Yeah.
I didn't warm
Michael,
up before
since
this.
You've... I just want to get a fan's opinion. How much would you pay for something like this, Michael?
The tickets were free to the show. That's all I'll tell you.
That's not what I'm asking.
No, I'm not going to tell you anything.
How much do you think this is worth?
Honestly, though, he's higher than what I would guess as a bid.
Not even consistent
with everyone else.
Exactly. It's the Brian strategy. He's higher than I would have guessed.
It's higher than what I was said. I think he falls under the category of like a niche market, and I think those can actually be more valuable than like general fame. So I'm gonna pull a Brian and say 120.
Ooh, coming in with the 120.
Ooh. Okay,
let's hear it.
Cool. I don't want to give anything away, but I forgot who is our person.
Founding member of Cool and the Gang, Robert Cool Bell.
Okay, cool. So it's just Robert, not the gang.
Correct. This is just Bob.
Okay.
The gang is not included.
Cool. Okay. Bobby C. All right.
It's K with the. It's cool with a K.
It's cool with a K.
It is.
Okay, so like the Kool Aid Man.
Yeah.
I want a cameo from him.
I'll say 130.
Okay, it's another double.
Okay,
sorry, I didn't have any good build up. I had no.
No, it's so both of you are over with the 120 and the 130. Is what that means. So we will re-guess, and I will force Ben to go first again against his own will.
Really? Oh, okay. I don't think we're substantially over.
Correct.
I think we're just generally over. So I'm going to say 90?
Okay. That was a question? Okay.
Am I going to say 90?
So, Brian.
Yeah, because we're supposed to do it like Jeopardy style, right? It has to be informed.
What is $90?
What is 90?
Okay, so he's cool in the gang with a K. So he's kind of edgy because, you know, it doesn't play by standard rules.
K is the symbol for 1,000, so you should guess 1,000.
No, don't do that.
It's also the symbol for potassium, which has an element number of something.
I think 7.
Don't ask me. I was going to say 14. So
I don't know. I don't believe in chemists.
It's 11. So... Wait, it's 19. Sorry. What? Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's 19.
Okay, we're just throwing out numbers now. I'm going to say that this is a cool, he doesn't want to come off, triple digits is too much, too intimidating. So I bet he does a cool 99.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. He is $100. We are tied up going into the last round. And this was everyone's favorite homeschool teacher. I'm kidding. I don't know. LeVar Burton. Brian, we'll start with you. Ooh. LeVar Burton. Okay. We know him from Reading Rainbow, which I'm sure homeschoolers watched on PBS, which ran until 2009. And he was also Mr. LaForge on Star Trek. I will let you ponder this, Brian, but remember, it's always more than you think it should be.
All right. Let's see. Where there's also a campaign to get him to host Jeopardy to replace Mr. Trebek. Okay, so what does future Jeopardy host LeVar Burton go for? I don't know. He's another one where, except you gave me the hint, if it's higher than what I think it should be. He's another one where I'm like, he seems like a personable guy. He would want this to be accessible to the people. I'm going to say...
But remember, it's always higher than you want it to
be. It's always higher than what you think. I'll say 200.
Okay, 200 from Brian. Ben, what is your estimation?
See, I will say this. I would pay a pretty penny. Like, if I was the type of person who did get these sort of cameo things, I would pay a pretty penny for LeVar Burton. So, I like what you said about him wanting to be accessible because he's like the Reading Rainbow person, and yeah, mm-hmm. and he might have a following amongst like children. However, we're all grown up now, and we have jobs. Mm. So, I think LeVar Burton, and I know it's not advantageous for me to say a number that's like larger than yours, but just to like prove a point of how awesome I think LeVar Burton is, I'm going to say 350 for Mr. 349 for Mr. Ooh, LeVar Burton.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't want to be too edgy. Gents, it's been a pleasure playing Cameo Celebrity Cost Cthulhu. Ben, congratulations. $550. 550 for LeVar Burton. Brian actually was stunned right there. Yeah. Ben takes the game 3-2. I agree. That one was much higher than I thought it would be. But I just checked, and that is still the going price.
No, I think LeVar Burton deserves that. And in recognition of me winning that first game, we're going to play one more real quick game for Brian and Michael. Both of these people, much smarter than me, especially in the realm of the sciences, as you guys know. And like many things, science and scientific beliefs and theories can change over time. And that can mean there are some things that or some ideas that were once held as truths that sound absolutely bonkers today. This game is about those theories. These are multiple choice questions that will have you picking what is science fact and what is science fiction. Only one answer of the multiple choice will be correct, and it's up to you guys to decide who it is. So I'm going to need you to be able to write down your answer in some way and be able to verify what it is. I'll ask you to say it out loud, but in case there's like a...
Okay.
Yeah, just to prove you answered that. There's only going to be three questions, so you need to... get ahead and stay ahead in this game. So we're going to start with this. Before blood types were discovered in 1901, physicians believed that a far better use of their time was to find a blood substitute rather than to try the risky procedure of transfusing human blood to patients. So in 1854, Toronto doctors James Bovill and Edwin Hodder injected a 40-year-old with 12 ounces of... Is it A, cow's milk, B, phlegm, C, clam chowder, or D, urine? And I'll need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
I'm saying D.
Oh.
Michael says D.
I was going back and forth. I said B. I said phlegm.
So you both
going back and forth between
go
two.
The human body route, which is urine. And phlegm are both products of the human body, which is a logical assumption and incorrect, because the correct answer is A, 12 ounces of cow's milk.
Oh, no.
I don't know if that person lived or died. Actually, I do. Know. They died.
Jeez.
Well, it was in the 1800s, so it's a safe assumption.
Yeah, right. They're dead now.
I'm assuming they're not alive.
Oh, like, good even point. If this,
even if this was the correct thing to do, which it isn't, it's the 1800s, dead. So they probably died. All right, so nobody gets a point going into the second round. This theory led to the settlement of land across the Great Plains and also southern Australia. Too bad for them, it wasn't true. What was this belief? Was it A, that the further towards the center of a landmass you go, the less the soil needs water? B, seeds grow faster in sandy soil? C, human settlements cause a permanent increase in rainfall? Or D, I don't know, something about manifesting destiny? And I will need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
A.
Michael says A.
I also said A.
They both say A. I will give that. I'll say that is incorrect. I will give you guys the chance to change your answer to either B, C, or D if you think it's D. And yeah, once again, B is seeds grow faster in sandier soil. C is human settlements cause a permanent increase in rainfall. Or D, I don't know, something about manifesting destiny.
I'm ready.
All right, 3.
I'm ready.
2, 1.
C. What'd you write?
Oh, I said B.
Okay, good.
Oh.
Someone's going to get something.
Unless the answer is D.
it's not D. The correct answer is C. Human settlements cause a permanent increase in rainfall. They thought that if they create a settlement, the rain will follow. I think this theory was actually called rain follows the plow. It was like what the theory was called. So with 1 point, we'll go into the final round, which is worth 85 points. Originally thought of by Aristotle, it persisted only until Louis Pasteur disproved it in the mid-19th century.
I know who that is. Come on.
And the fact I said the Pasteur part with such like elegance, but then Louis Pasteur disproved it in the mid-19th century. What was Aristotle's theory? So Aristotle came up with this theory, which was disproved by Louis Pasteur in the mid-19th century. Was it A, that stars are actually shaped like stars with 4 points? B, life is spontaneously created out of inanimate matter? C, a rolling stone gathers moss? Or D, that Socrates existed?
I feel bad because I think I know this one.
Brian, psst. Answer B. No cheating.
Well, that is what I wrote.
Oh, you put B? All right, I'll need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
It's C.
A rolling stone gathers moth. Or Brian, you put B. Life is spontaneously created out of inanimate matter.
It's not C.
The correct answer is B. Aristotle believed that life is spontaneously created out of inanimate matter, which I guess Michael knew. But that's what Brian was going to guess anyway.
Yeah, but so, I could not take a victory by a point. That's what we do in Cameo. And this game was not a dirty game. So, Brian, well deserved.
Thank you.
Technically a tie, but Brian wins 85 points to 1 since he got the final round victory. So congratulations, Brian. You have won. Do you have a victory speech?
Oh, thank you. I mean, this is how I sort of live my life. I struggle early. I set the bar low and then I rally strong in the end and feel bad that I didn't try harder initially.
And then you get back up on that horse.
Say yeehaw.
Yes. Give us yeehaw. A yeehaw.
Howdy.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast this week. We greatly appreciate it. Tell us one more time where our listeners can find your podcast.
Oh, they can find Journeys of Scientists on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are found. Or they can check out WAMPS.org, where WAMPS is Women and Minorities in the Physical Sciences at MSU, Michigan State University.
And that will be linked on the website. I'm making a note of it now, so everyone can
check
it out.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy graduate student schedule, especially this close to the end of the year, to be on our show. Michael, thank you for being here.
Yes, good to be here.
And thank you all for listening. You all are winners in our books because we're all winners. Why not? So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you again next week.